And we'll be studying from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bibles and have a moment to promote this good radio program on your social media device, we would appreciate the time that you take to inform other people about the godly material that can be presented from godly men here through the TGRN radio station. Before we begin our Bible study this morning, as usual, we'd like to go through some of the Brotherhood announcements. And first on our list is the Fall Gospel Meeting at the New Boston Church of Christ, October 1st through the 5th. This Fall Gospel Meeting with Mike Price is going to be centered around the concept of evangelism. And so Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m., they'll have an evangelism seminar. Now, the flyer does not tell you how long that seminar goes, but that it starts at 9 a.m. So if you'd like to contact the New Boston Church of Christ for more information about how you can sharpen your sword in the area of reaching out to people with the Word of God and how to teach them the gospel, you can call them at 903-628-2891. Again, that number is 903-628-2891. The rest of the services, Monday through Wednesday, will be at 7 p.m. for that gospel meeting.
All right. Coming up next week, we have the Titus County Fair out in Mount Pleasant, Texas. September 28th to October 1st, we're going to have booths set up there in the Civic Center, the North Jefferson Church of Christ, where Chris and I both labor, as well as the Gospel Radio Network, of which you're listening to. We'll have booths that are set up and will be maintained by people involved with the show, and as well as the congregation. That will be from Wednesday to Friday, 5 to 9 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I'll be out there Thursday night. Chris, what time do you have signed up?
Every day there's not a person in there is where I'm going to be.
Yeah, every day. So. You got to fill the spots. October 1st, me and Lisa are going to be up in Benton, Arkansas. There's a youth day. Lisa will be speaking to the girls. I'll be speaking to everybody later in the day after lunch. And after that, we'll close up shop. But it is going to be a good youth day over being a soldier for Christ. October 8th, we have Country Fest 2016, and that will be on the square in Mount Vernon, Texas. Come by and visit the booth of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. Meet some of their great members as they seek to continually evangelize in their community.
All right, the next thing I've got here is for October 15th. I've actually got two things on October 15th. The Emory Church of Christ in Emory, Texas is having the a series of lessons on the Restoration in America. And men like Bradley Cobb, Mark McWhorter, I guess it's those two guys, are going to be talking about the Christians of New England, the Reformers, the Union of Christians, the Restoration and the Civil War, and the sources of division in the Restoration movement. Lunch will be provided, and we're asked to RSVP by October the 10th by calling 903-473-2658 or emailing the church office at office@emorychurchofchrist.org.
We've got coming up on October 1st, the Edgewood Church of Christ Ladies' Day called Fill My Cup, and Carla Sparks, the wife of Jason Sparks, who's over the Truth and Love television program, she will be in doing that. RSVP by September 27th. The number there are two numbers that you can call if you'd like to go to that Ladies' Day to RSVP. It'll be 214-563-6825 or 940-839-7383. Again, those numbers, 214-563-6825. Or 940-839-7383.
Fall Ladies' Day at the Johnson Street Church of Christ. This is a big deal for a lot of the women at our congregation, but they've been going there for several years. The Sisterhood, Diverse Daughters of God, One Spirit, Bound by Love. Please join us, they say, Saturday, October the 15th. Muffins and Mixing at 9 a.m., and then followed by their program at 9:45. Speakers include Dolores Knight of Hugo, Oklahoma, and Janice Hutto. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. And, of course, there'll be babysitting provided. For more information, call the church office at the Johnson Street Church of Christ, 903-455-3710.
All right, we've got October 9th to 12th, a gospel meeting at the Edgewood Church of Christ. A lot of guys, we recognize their names on here. DJ Stuckey will be kicking things off, Marco Arroyo, Brandon Ferguson, Tavares Armstrong, Braden Shelley, and Willie Alvarenga. And they'll be going over the study of redemption. How far is Edgewood from here?
I'm not sure. Maybe about 30 or 40 minutes.
Okay. But October 9th to 12th, the story of redemption. The titles of those lessons will be In the Beginning, Life Outside the Garden, Struggles of the Righteous, Warnings, Our Savior Comes to Save, and In the End. Going to be a good meeting.
Well, I think so. And then Ladies' Day. I've got... October the 22nd, the annual Ladies' Day at the North Jefferson Church of Christ with Speaker Holly McCormack of the Atlanta Church, speaking on living without fear in the current culture. Things kick off at the 13th annual Ladies' Day at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, October the 22nd. There'll be more information to follow in just a few more days, so stay tuned.
All right. October 16th to 19th. It's fun getting these new ones on our desk, but Adam Orr will be at the North Main Church of Christ in a series called Saving the Saints. And Adam will do lessons on from spiritual illiteracy, apostasy, apathy, idolatry, anxiety, and the adversity. So that's at the North Main Church of Christ in Malvern, Arkansas, with our friend Mornay Stephanus.
Okay. And at the same congregation on November the 12th, the North Main Church will host a Ladies' Day from 9 to 12 with April Meacham. And so the theme is how to be a Christian woman in a gender-neutral world. I think that that would probably be a good series of lessons. Contact Amanda Stephanos to RSVP at 225-326-9179. That's 225-326-9179, that church, Malvern, Arkansas.
All right. Then the last bit that I've got, unless you've got something over there I don't see, the TLC Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat will be Thursday to Saturday, October 6 to 8. They've already ordered the shirts, but they still have bunks available. So if you are interested in going to the TLC Ladies Retreat, I know my wife is going, well as quite a few ladies from our congregation. It's TexasLadiesInChrist.org is the website that you can check out. And I believe that will do it. Did you announce this one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there is a debate September 27th. It's called The Great Debate 2016 between an atheist, Alexander Rosenberg, and a Christian theist, Ralph Gilmore. And that will be, you can check that out at thegreatdebate16.com. So I think that's going to be coming up here pretty soon.
Well, very good. That will conclude our announcements today. For a repeat of any of this, be sure to log on to the website and use the on-demand button. And you can re-listen to any of these announcements throughout the week, as well as call the church office here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ for any clarifications or additions or deletions, whatever it is. If we've miscommunicated the information, I guess you could say, you could call for clarification. Today, we want to turn our attention to the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. That would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in this powerful letter that Paul closes with a request for prayer and an exhortation to godly living. And I don't know about you, Brother JJ, but I think that one of the things that Christians probably could stand to practice better and do more of is praying. And I don't know exactly what keeps us from praying as much, but prayer is a big part of the New Testament teaching, and it was big in the life of the apostles. They did not make additions to church leadership without prayer and fasting. They didn't go on mission trips without prayer and fasting. And so a prayer is a big part of the New Testament life. And so we begin our reading in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, where Paul requests a prayer. He's asking for two things from the believers at Thessalonica. Let's see what those two things are. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Why? "That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." I think that's an interesting prayer request. Mm-hmm. And in verse number 2, he says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So the two things that are listed there is, number one, that they pray for God's messenger. Pray for us. He asked for a prayer that he would be delivered from the wicked and evil men. And for God's message, in verse number 1, Paul desires that the gospel be allowed to spread rapidly everywhere. And that's what it means to have free course.
Yeah, I mean, we got to remember what's going on at this time. Is the church is still growing. Word is still getting out. And having a prayer for that to run smoothly is one that we can even pray for today as we evangelize. A lot of different evangelistic opportunities that we talked about previously in the news today. And so that's a prayer that we can still pray for.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you think about it, other countries are not like the United States. There are a lot more hoops to jump through, a lot more dangers associated with teaching the gospel. Vietnam had been, in time past, a place where the gospel was outlawed. And to bring Bibles and tracts, they all had to be smuggled in. And there were a good many people. In fact, the preacher that baptized me into Christ back in the late 90s, he was over in Vietnam. And while he was there to do evangelistic work. And if I'm not mistaken, was jailed for a short amount of time until they could get things straightened out. Kind of a reprimand. But very tense situation, very unsure times. And, of course, you'd hear about those who go into Muslim communities overseas, and especially in Syria, and they kind of take on the culture. And they might pray in the same prayer posture as Muslims do to try not to attract too much attention. You know, where there's a lot of beheading going on still in certain places. How do you get the gospel into the hearts of those people? You have to show them the love of Jesus, and I think hearts still change and turn. And China, Japan, China, and places over in you know, in the Far East, there are still places where the gospel is forbidden, and there's a lot of evangelistic work that goes on in hotel rooms, meetings, and such. It's hard to imagine having to be that undercover with the gospel, but when Paul says that pray that the word of God may have free course, we can only assume that there were powers that were resistant to the message of the gospel. And today, here in the United States, while we may not have a law against it, I think that there is certainly a heart problem that a lot of people have, I guess I could say. And how can we pray that the gospel would have free course in a person's heart? So you can take it right down to the person, I think. But anyway, I think about this, and there's so many hindrances to the gospel. I can think of even in Bible studies, how many times we've tried to set up appointments with people, and first one thing and then another would happen, and it would cause the appointment to fall through. It's really difficult to get a Bible study appointment set in stone. Yeah. And get people committed to it. And so I just think about things like that.
And then there's, like, you know, you'll show somebody scripture, and it's not what they believe already. Mm-hmm. And Michael Jimenez, one of our teenagers, was studying with a guy from his school. Mm-hmm. And showed him the scripture, and the guy said, "Yeah, I see that that's what it says, but I just don't believe it." And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, see what it says.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's. I told him, I said, "Don't be discouraged. You did good." I said, if he can openly say that he sees it, sees what it says, understands, but just doesn't want to believe it, that's between him and God.
That's not you. So anyway, interesting prayer request. The two things: pray for the message and pray for the messenger. In verse number 2, that we may not be delivered.
Pray for preachers. Pray for Christians. Pray for those who evangelize. because there can be lashback. And remember, they were in persecution, and Paul, I mean, wasn't saying bring on the persecution. It was going to come, but he can say, you know, pray that this is as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So, I mean, pray that they'll be able to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And just, I mean, we're guaranteed persecution, but we can pray for it to abide so that we can reach more souls.
Right. All right. So the two things that we see here in the scripture this morning is, first of all, the prayer request for the messenger and for the message. The second thing that we look at in verses 3-5 this morning is Paul's reassurance. Now, he reassures them concerning God's faithfulness, his love, and patience. Notice this in verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, when it says that we have confidence in the Lord touching you, it's to say we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. Now, that's as touching anything. Doesn't mean just a physical touch or a, and I'm not sure how people might interpret that, but I think the, how does verse number 4 read in your ESV?
I've got New King James today.
Okay.
And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you.
Okay, so the word concerning is the word touching. So mm-hmm. if you have a King James Version Bible and you want to understand the meaning of the definition of the word touching, then he's talking about concerning you. So we have confidence in the Lord regarding or concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And so there is a life, an expectation that comes along with Christianity. There's responsibility. There are commandments to be kept. There's promises to be received and so on. And I think it's encouraging that Paul says, we think that you're going to do, you are doing and will do what you're commanded to do. That's faith. Faith is doing what God wants us to do. And of course, you know, you got the book of Hebrews. Very popularly, we would refer to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we would chronicle the great men and women of faith who heard the word of the Lord, who received instructions and followed through with those instructions, believing that that was the right thing to do. And that's called faith. Well, in verse number 5, he says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Again, another reference for the time in which Christ will come and redeem, finally, everything to God and to bring us to full completion. Everything that had been expected via faith will become reality. And I think it's interesting that here it says that that the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God. You know, the Lord does direct us, and sometimes at the end of the prayers, we may take it for granted. But there have been many men who at the end of a prayer in the assembly of the church will say, the Lord, would you please guard, guide, and direct us? Well, we know that the Lord directs us, and we receive direction from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The letter that they were receiving from Paul was a directive from the Word from God. And so we know it as our testament. But if we look at it strictly as a letter, we know that God does direct us, and he does it through time, and he does it through circumstance, and we know theologically what God wants us to do, but there is a natural, through natural law, there are ways in which we come to depend upon God and his love. And so I think if you think about how God is working for us and working with us, there is a fine line between this and miraculous. I don't think we're talking about miraculous here, but I do believe that that God does, you know, through providence and through the natural realm, through the choices of people, he sets up an environment for us. And a lot of times we have this in the church. We have a family. We have people that we share like-minded faith with. And so when in verse number 5 he says, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, I have a hunch that we're going to receive a lot of encouragement from our brethren to this end. Mm-hmm. And so that's due to the Word of God. I mean, it all comes back to the instructions we receive. But I like the way God uses, he pulls out all the stops to provide us with opportunities to think about these things. And, you know, God gets my attention through the blessings that he shares with me through people. And people who are filled with the love of God and the Word of God, when they're doing what God says, and they're sharing with me their wisdom or their time or their talents, their money, and everything. There's been a lot of ways in which the Grota family has been blessed over the years. And we have we've been bettered because of it. It has brought us into a more a closer relationship with God. And it has caused us to appreciate God more just because of his influence in the lives of other people. And so I think about these things and try to make application to them. And it's like Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, why? Well, it's because of their faith, because of how they behave, because of who they are.
What was the latter part of your verse 5?
The latter part of my verse 5 says, and the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ.
See, mine just says, in the patience of Christ.
Okay. Well, and so, you know, again, our goal in life is to get to this point when Christ comes. And even we may die first before Christ comes. But, you know, that doesn't prevent Christ from coming. It doesn't prevent us from being in on that. Paul would later say, or would say in his previous epistle, that the Lord will bring all of us with him that die in the Lord first. So we're not going to miss out on this great event. And by the way, just because we die physically doesn't mean we're not alive somewhere. I just want you to understand that, we'll patiently wait for Christ, even if we die and go to the Hadean realm. Mm-hmm. Even if we're in paradise, we'll still be waiting for Christ. And we'll be waiting on what we have traditionally and typically called the consummation. And so we will patiently wait, and we will endure. And Abraham was a great example of a person who endured waiting for the promises of God, and he was he's heralded as a patient man because he believed God and he received the promises, and most of the promises that God promised him were received after he died and went on into the Hadean realm. And I think that's that may be something that a lot of people don't think about. They feel like maybe the promises of God need to be fulfilled in this life, and that's not always where things are fulfilled. They're going to be fulfilled in God's good time, and that may mean that we're already crossed over before we get that. But anyway, wanted to say that about the patient waiting for Christ. These people that wrote the letter, Paul wrote the letter, the recipients of the letter, they've all died. Mm-hmm. Are they still patiently waiting for Christ?
Yes, they are.
And if we understand theologically that they are alive somewhere, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And so we are still patiently waiting for Christ as well. Could Christ come in our life? Sure. But even if he doesn't, we'll patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. Now, we've talked about the request and the reassurance. The reassurance has to do with God's qualities, his faithfulness, his love, his patience. I wanted to say that brethren need reassurance. They need the hope that God has set before them. And a lot of times that's just a reminder of who God is and his character and his nature. They need that faith. The world and Satan is whispering in their ear and putting doubts in their heads, and they're filled with anger, or they're filled with frustration, or people may be filled with doubts and insecurities, and what they need to dispel all that is a good dose of God in their mind. And so we need to remind people of who God is and what he's able to do. With man, not all things are possible. But with God, all things are possible. Moving on to verses 6 through 18. Verses 6 through 18. We'll call this Paul's reprimand. And you'll notice that as you read the text. And JJ, would you read that?
Oh, sure thing. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition that he received from us. Mm-hmm. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example to how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Well, there's three types of individuals in this text that need to be rebuked.
Mm-hmm.
That is the lazy, the gossipers, and I think about the disobedient here. You've got the lazy, the gossipers, and the disobedient. And the lazy, they're supposed to work hard. That's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being lazy. Work hard. Not rocket science.
Pretty simple rebuke there.
Yeah. And then gossipers, they should mind their own business and do what's good.
I really like verse 11, how he words that. For we hear that some walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busy bodies.
That's it. Yeah, so stop doing that.
They're not working with their hands. They're working with their tongues.
And they're, you know, Paul's not calling for any, you know, psychotherapy here. He's just saying just stop it and change. This is what you need to do. And of course, the disobedient. If you look at verse 14, the end of verse 14, you're supposed to note the man who does not obey the apostolic word in this letter, but not just note him, but have no company with him, and you withdraw your company so that he may be ashamed. You know, we've done this in discipline. We've done this in schools. If there's a child that cannot behave, he must sit out. If there is an adult, it's even more distasteful. But you know, nobody wants to be around somebody that's you know, that's not going to try to do what's right. And it's actually a turnoff for people who are trying to do what's right to be in the company of an individual who's not interested in doing the right thing. And so the Bible says, Don't keep company with him. You know, distance yourself, that he may be ashamed. And that's the purpose. You notice in verse number 7. Let's see here. For we know you know how that we behaved ourselves. We weren't disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So that's a discipline. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. And he says, now them that are such, we command you and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But when you look at verse number 14, they're actually saying, you know, you need to discipline these people. The disobedient have to be disciplined. And you do that just by staying away from them. If you see the rules, you got the recipients of this list and you got the rules of this list. Paul gives three steps to be taken in dealing with the individuals. And of course, we already noted that we've got to identify them, note them, make note of them. You know, call attention to yourselves about this individual, verse 14. Step two, in verses 12 and verse number 15, it says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord that they work with quietness and eat their own bread." Now that's the exhortation. There's an admonishment that's there. Verse number 15 says, "Don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So you admonish, you try to get them to change their ways, change their track. So there's identify, admonish, and step three, if you look at verse number 15, is to love them. You know, you don't count them as an enemy. You look upon that person as an erring brother or sister. And friends, that's what it means to really love your brother. You love them as Christ also loved the church. What does Christ do? You know, he rebukes us. He chastens us. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord."
Yeah, see the purpose of the thing about that the Word of God can do in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, reprove, rebuke, and exhort mm-hmm. with complete patience and teaching, because the Bible is God-breathed.
Mm-hmm. So, the closing remarks of this chapter in verses 16, 17, 18 have a good bit of information for us. And you'll notice that you'll see the apostle's heart and the apostle's hand. Verse number 16 now that says, "The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Now, the Lord's presence is connected to his peace here in this verse. And you know that Jesus said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, but not as the world gives." So there is a peace that a person can have, you know, when the world is crazy and insane. And I'm using those as relative terms. How you might interpret that may be different from one person to another, but I'm thinking about chaos in general. And, you know, when the world is chaotic around you, when people are stressed about things, those things don't stress you out. Politics right now is very stressful. I like engaging in local politics. I like the you know, I like the debate. I like to bring up history lessons. I like to try to convince people to vote a certain way. But you know, I have to admit, this election, you know, especially the presidential election, I have grown weary of this. And I was listening to News Talk Radio on WBAP the other day, and I think they're going to air the big debate with Hillary and Trump. And they have built this thing up, and I don't know if this is going to be a debate about policy or ways of handling issues. I don't know for sure, but I get the idea that it's supposed to be like a on the level with a reality TV show.
I was about to say reality TV show. It's just going to be mudslinging and what have you done behind closed doors, and not how are you going to lead this country. So, I mean, I think either of them would probably pretty much be.
But for me, I'm really discouraged by that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can compartmentalize that. In the midst of all of this, I still have peace and a confidence in God, because I believe that the darker the world is, the brighter the light of the gospel shines. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at this as an evangelistic opportunity. I have peace in the midst of this storm. I know that God is in control. And I'm not really overly worried. Concerned? Yes, but not worried. I'm not anxious. And when I am anxious, you know what the Bible says to do? To pray.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not back to the first point that we were talking about in the beginning of the chapter.
That's absolutely right. Philippians says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication make your requests be made known unto God." Now, I believe that. And I hope that you do too, listening audience, because we are going to need to be in the practice of prayer. But he says in the end of his letter, "The Lord of peace be with you." And then he says, "The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I guess in verse number 17, there is, it seems like this is a statement of authentication to me. It strikes me as that this is something that would help reassure them that this was authoritative, that it was from the hand of Paul. But, you know, he didn't have a penman, so to speak. But he prays for the peace. He blesses them with peace of God and the grace of God. And, you know, the grace of God is God's goodness. Grace is always God's goodness. It's his charis. It's his goodness. And some people say they define it as unmerited favor. Well, whatever. You know, it could be the favor of God, the goodness of God. But to bestow that upon people is a good thing to do. And so I think about how I can end a conversation with people. And I know that it's not done typically. I mean, we would say God bless you and things of that nature. But if you said, "May the peace of the Lord be with you," you know, you would think, "Oh, that sounds nice, but it's a little weird that he says that." You know, why is it weird?
Because we don't normally use that vernacular.
And why don't we normally use it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I think it's probably something I want to start, because I really believe that we need to redirect our minds towards the care and the comfort and the protection that God has promised us, and to abide in his grace. You know, the Bible says great grace was upon them all. We need to stand in this grace, Romans chapter 5 tells us, and we do that by faith. And so God's peace and God's grace work together. And this is really the end of the epistle. I just wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about Paul's prayer requests, his reassurance, his reprimand, you know, that really focuses on somebody really just going to work. Stop being a busybody and, you know, stop tattling and stop gossiping and just get to work, do your work, be evangelistic, pray for the success of the Word of God, pray for people that are going to take the gospel, that they don't have to be delivered to unreasonable and wicked men. You know, pray for people to have the faith. And then, you know, take care of the brethren, you know, discipline them if they need it. But at the end of the epistle, he says, the peace and the grace of God need to be with us. And so that's where we want to conclude today for our study. That would wrap up this wonderful letter that you've been studying this week. And if you have not heard the other lessons and regarding the other two lessons, be sure to go on the TGRN.org webpage and use the on-demand tab and listen to the discussion that has been taking place on this fabulous letter by the Apostle Paul. I want to conclude today's program with an encouragement for you to continue to help people bring awareness to the rich materials that are available on the TGRN, the Gospel Radio Network. And there are more and more programs, seem like all the time, coming on board. And I'm amazed at some of the materials that are there. I've listened to them myself and very impressed.
Patrick Hammack and Dwayne Bryant, I think, are going to be tag-teaming a show. They sent me the initial run, kind of their test run.
Yes.
And they're going to be... It's going to be a good show. I enjoyed listening to it. So,
well,
if they you know, you're gonna end up doing better and better as time goes on, hopefully. But I think they've got a really neat subject, and I think they're going to be able to go quite far with it. So,
well, that's just wonderful. I tell you what, we need good programming, and this is such a great outlet. It's worldwide, And even I've talked to people in India about it, and they're making use of the materials even now. So thank you all for listening today. Thank you for being a part of this good program. Pray for JJ and I as we labor for the Master in our little neck of the woods up here in Northeast Texas. And we want to invite you to, as always, be back with us again for Mornings for the Master next week at 9 a.m. right here on TGRN.org. And until then, God bless you and Godspeed. And remember,
we're proud of you.
Thank you. Mom!